You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Thoughts on the connection, if any, that there is between Pes Shabbos, which was known as Shabbos Nachamu, which is the the Shabbos whose Haftorah is actually the first of the consolation, Haftorah is after Tisha B'Av, and perhaps tie that into the holiday of Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, which was on Friday. And also to touch on a few points that the final Mishnah in Masechtas Tainus, which discusses the fast days of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, which is in the beginning of the 3-week cycle period, and then Tisha B'Av, which is the conclusion of the 3 weeks. And there are two holidays mentioned in that Mishnah at the very end. So it goes from like sad days, from Tisha B'Av, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av. And then the Mishnah seems to switch to tell us at the very, very end of Masechtas Tainus that the happiest days of the Jewish calendar are the days of Yom Tu B'Av, the 15th day of Av, and Yom Kippur. And then the Gemara expounds on that. But I was wondering, you know, looking at the Mishnah, if we can extrapolate perhaps some closer connection between the 2 days, the 17th day of Tammuz, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av, as well as the holiday of Tu B'Av, the 15th day of Av, and Yom Kippur. And also in Shulchan Aruch, it says that Tisha B'Av is always the Shabbos before Parshas Ve'eschanan. So obviously Tisha B'Av is always going to be before the Haftorah of Nachamu, which is the first of the consolation, of Haftorahs. But what does the Parsha of Ve'eschanan have, if any? What connection is there, if any, to also consoling us, having come through the you know, sad events and tragic events of the 3-week period, culminating ultimately in Tisha B'Av? So I thought perhaps that one can say, if we were to look at the at that final Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us the 5 terrible things that happened on the 17th day of Tammuz, 5 terrible things that happened on the day of Tisha B'Av, and it begins with the fast day of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, 17th of Tammuz, not just having to do with the destruction of the temple, but actually it was the day that Moses came down from Har Sinai, from Mount Sinai, and broke the tablets. And it lists other things that occurred that day. They broke through the walls of the city in Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple times, and ultimately destroyed the temple on the 9th day of Av in that particular period of time. And then on the 9th day of Av, we know, traditionally, it's listed in the Mishnah as well, is that one of the 5 tragic events that happened was that the Jews complained after the whole story with the spies, the Meraglim, in the Torah, in Parsha Shalach, that the spies came back with a bad report, the Jews cried, and then ultimately God said, if you're going to cry on this day for nothing, then ultimately this will be a day destined for crying, and ultimately that was the day of the destruction of the temple. So that is, in essence, a couple of reasons for the 17th of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. But then as we move forward to the 15th day of Av, which is Yeres Friday, and obviously Ve'eschanan, which was Shabbos, Saturday, we see that the 15th day of Av is definitely a correspondence to the 9th day of Av, and that in the 15th day of Av, for the 40 years the Jews lived in the desert, they were under a decree that every year they would die. The people would die, you know, they wouldn't be allowed to go into the land of Israel, and every year a number of them would die. And the last year, what they would do is on the 9th day of Av, they would all dig their own graves, essentially, because they weren't sure who's going to be available to bury them, lay down in their graves, and then see who woke up the next day. In the final year in the desert, in the Midbar, they did the same thing. They dug their graves, and then by the time they woke up the next morning, they realized they were not dead. They thought perhaps they miscalculated. They waited another day, until the 15th day of the lunar month, in which they saw a full moon. They knew they definitely did not miscalculate, and they knew that the decree was over, that they were destined to perhaps enter the land of Israel. And so the decree, which began on the 9th day of Av, concluded on the 15th day of Av. So there's definitely a correlation there between those two tragic events. But I thought perhaps there's also some other deeper connection between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the 17th day of Tammuz, and Yom Kippur. Because the Mishnah has concluded that the day of Yom Kippur is a very joyous day, and the Gemara then expounds on that and says it's a very joyous day because it's the day God forgives us. It's also the day we got the second of the tablets, the second Luchos. So I thought perhaps that is a direct connection to the 17th day of Tammuz. If the 17th day of Tammuz, the Jews had done the idol, they had sinned with the golden calf, the eagle, and therefore the tablets were broken. So then perhaps the antidote to that was when they repented, they were forgiven, in fact, for that particular sin, and received the second set of luchos, which were destined to last forever, and in fact, the Talmud tells us is around, hidden though, but is around forever. That would be a antidote, perhaps, or a corrective, a correction to what happened on Shavuot and Tammuz. So it's not just that the Mishnah is telling us, oh, two happy events and two sad events, but these actually are very intrinsically connected in that the first one has to do with the breaking of the tablets. The second holiday of Yom Kippur has to do with the receipt of the new tablets and forgiveness. Tisha B'Av has to do with the dying in the midbar of the 40 years of the Jews not being destined after the Meraglim not to go into Israel. Tu B'Av that concluded. And so, in fact, they are very much days of you know, perhaps of correction, of being consoled, and that these were days that, in fact, followed the first part of the Mishnah and being sad days. These are the joyous reciprocal days that, in fact, we would come back and, in fact, have hope. One day we stopped dying, the other day was the forgiveness and the receipt of the luchos. So then I thought, if that's, in fact, a connection, perhaps, between those two components of the Mishnah, then it may make some sense to look into the parsha of Ve'ez Hanan a bit more, as the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Tevachah Ches and Rosh Chodesh, that the halacha is there, that these days are connected, so it's encoded in our code of Jewish law, that in fact Tisha B'Av comes before Ve'ez Hanan. And in the parsha of Ve'ez Hanan, we have, in fact, the second set of Aseres HaDibros, the second Luchos. The second Luchos are repeated and printed in Parshas Ve'ez Hanan. So if that is a mode of forgiveness, and if that receipt of those tablets were the corrective action to what began on Shavuot or B'Tamuz, then in fact, the Parsha itself, again, Haftorah, of course, which is Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, which is, in fact, God consoling his nation through the prophets, but the Parsha itself contains within it some sense of of consolement to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people, in that the parsha includes in it the Aseres HaDibros, the second, in fact, set of luchos. So I thought with that, perhaps we can look at that second set of luchos and see if there's something in that set of luchos that even more so can bring us to some sort of consolation, in some sense, give us some sense of consolement. So in looking at the Aseres HaDibros, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Bava Kamma a very interesting thing. The Gemara there describes, and has it by way of question and answer, what the differences are between the first set of luchos, the first tablets that were given in Parshas Yisro, in Shemos, and the second set of luchos that are repeated again in Parshas of Eschanon. And the Talmud describes to us that there's one letter of all the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet that is not contained in the first luchos and that is contained in the second luchos, and that is the letter tes, the ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The letter tes is not found in the first one, and yet is found in the second one. And the Gemara goes on to describe that the letter tes is a symbolism for the word tov, which means good. And the Gemara then describes why would that not be included in the first, but yet is included in the second, because since the first luchos, the first set of tablets, were destined to be broken, as the Jews were then sinning with the golden calf, the eagle, and so therefore it was not included, because God did not want a broken set of tablets that contained within them, luchos, that contained within them, this concept of goodness. And so therefore it was included in the second set, as obviously only God would know. These were destined to last forever. So in fact, the second set of luchos have the letter tes, which represents goodness, which is destined to be with us forever. The goodness is destined to be with us forever. Interesting tidbit to note, the second set of luchos, the second tablets, have 17 more words than the first set of luchos. 17 is the numerical equivalent of the word tov, the word good. Tov is tes vavez, which is precisely 9, 6, and 2, which is, in fact, the numerical equivalent of 17, this concept of goodness showing up in those second luchos. So I thought perhaps therein lies another reason that the fact that the luchos, the commandments, the Ten Commandments, are repeated, and repeated in this version that has the goodness in it, and as the Talmud describes, this goodness is destined to last forever, and that's why it's contained within the second set of luchos, that in fact is a sense of consolement to the Jewish people, and that they've just gone through this terrible period, but in fact there's hope, there's forgiveness, there's coming back, there's actually goodness. And then I saw that someone mentioned that, we wish somebody at a joyous occasion, we wish one another a simcha, mazel tov. What does mazel tov mean? So I saw, perhaps based upon this understanding of what the second luchais have within them, representing the concept of goodness of tov, that when you experience something good, so someone shakes your hand or someone wishes you, you should have this mazel should be good. Meaning, this current mazel, this current luck, if you will, or other choice of word that you'd like to use for the word mazel, that's you're now perhaps experiencing, tov should remain good, the same good that the second set of luchais have within them, which contains within them, which as the Talmud describes, is a good that endures. It's a good that keeps us going forever. It's the same concept of goodness that was contained within them because these were the everlasting set of tablets, so that therefore this goodness should continue on. So when you wish someone to be, a mazel tov at a simcha, at a happy or joyous occasion, in fact, what your message to that particular person is, this good luck, this good, this good mazel that you're having now should in fact continue and be there forever. So again, the concept of goodness contained within the second set of luchais is not just by chance the parsha that we read the weekend after Tisha B'Av, but is in fact the culmination of this. The concept of Yom Kippur, the concept of forgiveness, the concept of goodness and kindness that God bestows upon us is actually contained within this very parsha, which is, as Halacha tells us in Shulchan Aruch, the parsha that must be laid after Tisha B'Av. So perhaps taking this all together, we have the beginning of the three-week period with Shavuos of Tammuz, 17th day of Tammuz, the breaking of the Luchos. Then we go on to Tisha B'Av, which is, is the death of the Meraglim, and then which carries on forever, and all those tragic events. And then we switch to Tu B'Av, which is ends the death period, and then we actually have Yom Kippur, which is a forgiveness, this concept of good, which also shows up in that particular parsha.
Thank you for joining us at BensTorah.com.